And I'd like to welcome everyone to this conference call, and I'd like to acknowledge that I'm hosting it from the traditional territory of the Kwanlundun First Nation and Tonkwatin Council in Whitehorse. So this is our first conference call for BF101 Basic Recreation Finances. And this learning event will help you develop a basic understanding. It's not really advanced, but it's a clear understanding of how to responsibly handle finances. So you're going to learn about planning for finances, tracking finances, and also reporting on money that's coming in and going out on projects, programs, and events. A lot of people say this is a really useful, practical, hands-on learning event. So, you know, you can make this as advanced or as simple as you need. You have the opportunity of using a case study for the required learning activities or your own projects or programs. It's also useful for those of you who might work with volunteers or staff who also need to understand how to read a budget, how to track money if they're responsible for money coming and going for a program or anything like that. So in this learning event, we'll look at basic terms and financial management practices. You're going to prepare a budget this week, and then over the next week, you'll practice tracking money, or you'll learn how money comes in and goes out and learn about in-kind contributions. And then for next week, you'll prepare a financial report. So as I mentioned on our conference calls, we usually start with introductions and then do some content and then dig into some discussion. So for the introductions today, what I'd like to ask you to do, and I'll pop it in here, so there's actually a question to go along with your introduction. So when you introduce yourself, I know some of you know each other really well, but it would be nice if you could tell us who you are, what your role in recreation is, and what community you're based out of. And then if you could share either a do or a don't in regards to managing finances. So I'll start off, right? My name's Caroline. I'm in Whitehorse, and I'm the learning consultant for the Recreation North Training Program. And one of the dues that I have is at least keep my receipts. It's pretty easy when you pay for things on your phone and stuff these days not to keep a receipt, but my due would be to keep all the receipts. So I'm going to go to you, Peter, next. Peter, and then David, and then Kumnapik, and I'll try and pop the order in the chat too so you can see that. Over to you, Peter.
Hello, my name is Peter. I am situated in Whitehorse, and I'm the Active Living Coordinator for the Recreation and Parks Association of the Yukon. And one of my don'ts regarding managing finances is promising money that you don't have.
That's a good one, especially when you're giving money out, right? Or maybe even if you're purchasing something. Thanks, Peter. Over to you, David.
Okay. I had a couple I was just thinking of there. I like the one that Peter just said. You know, I've got to make sure for dues, make sure you write down the date, transaction, the category that it's going to be in. So with financing, things have various codes. For food might be one code, equipment. So if you know those categories, it makes it a lot easier when you're doing up your final budget. And I like what Peter said in terms of don't promise money you don't have. I'm also thinking don't go airy-fairy and write down numbers that you just won't get.
That's right. You know? Yeah. Well, thank you, David. Thanks for introducing yourself. So, Kumnapik, let's go over to... that's okay. go for it, and then we'll go to Kumnapik.
Okay.
Tell us who you are and what organization you're with. Yeah.
Right. Dave Jennings, Elder Active, Whitehorse. And I'm a program coordinator.
Okay, over to you, Kumnapik. We're going to introduce yourself, and then do you have a do or a don't that you'd like to share in regards to managing finances?
Okay. Can you guys hear me?
I can, yes.
Okay. Coming up the end of the year, the creation coordinator for the municipality of Zurich, and the one thing to do is knowing exactly how much budget you have before hosting an event.
Great, so know exactly how much you have to spend or to purchase things with. Is that what you said?
Towards anything, paying or taking the people who have work to do and the prices, the revenue, everything.
That's great. So understanding your budget, I think, is really important. So thank you, Kumanathik, and welcome today. Adrian, let's go over to you, and you're muted, so you might have to unmute yourself to introduce yourself. We'd all like to welcome you, and if there's something that you think about that you either do or don't do, like a tip in regards to managing finances.
Hi, I'm Adrian. I'm the program coordinator at Children's First in Inuvik. And I would say I always make a plan for how we're spending the money.
Awesome. So have a plan, right? And then try and follow.
Before you get the money, have a plan.
Good one. So that'll be our focus this week. So thank you for sharing and welcome to our circle, because that's kind of what we are, a great big circle across the north. Thank you. Okay, let's go to Cambridge Bay. So Tracy and Anne, if she's there, and Juliana, if you would like to introduce yourself, and then if you have a do or a don't that you would like to add in regards to managing finances. And if we get to you at the end of the circle and some things have already been said, you don't have to say anything. It's up to you. So over to you, Tracy.
Hi, my name is Tracy. I'm from Kiddish Bay, and I'm the recreation coordinator. One thing that we do is just basically keep our receipts of what we spent.
Awesome. And do you, like, have a file that you put them in or a special spot so they don't, like, mine go in a shoebox, which isn't very good.
Yeah.
you got a special place for them?
A file.
Thanks for joining us, Tracy. Is Anne with you or not just yet?
Yep. Hi, my name is Anne Eisner, and I'm the recreation coordinator for Cambridge Bay, and we do keep our receipts in the file.
That's great. That's a good do thing. Thank you. And welcome back, Anne. Nice to hear your voice today. Let's go to Juliana.
Thank you.
Thank you. Over to you, Juliana, to introduce yourself and share either a do or a don't with regards to managing finances.
I'm Juliana here in Cambridge Bay. I'm the manager of coalitions, and I'm supporting the recreation with design of programs. So one of the do's maybe is to know the value of your in-kind contribution, because sometimes we know or we have the thing in as an in-kind, but to know what is that amount will help you when you're budgeting or you're applying for grant applications, and knowing what is the amount that is coming from your side of.
Yeah, that's great. We'd sometimes just say we've got in-kind things, but we don't actually know what the value is, so that's really helpful, especially when it's things like groceries and things like that. So thank you for sharing that. Okay, we're going to go to Baker Lake, and then we're going to go to Hay River, and then somebody else just joined with a 934 number, so we'll go to you after Scott. So over to you, Nathan.
Hi, excuse me. My name is Nathan Ananout. I'm from Baker Lake, Nunavut. I am the recreation coordinator, and I'd say do back up everything. One night after a bingo event, I was going to get all the paperwork and then file it away into my filing cabinet, but I set it down in the Hammett office because I had to go see the SAO, And I walked away from the bag, and my boss, I say, oh, put it in the finance office to make sure it's safe. I didn't know about that. I thought I lost it. I thought I was going to lose my job because I didn't have any paperwork at all. I back up everything. Now I scan everything into my computer and file it into a filing cabinet. So back
oh,
up
that
everything.
Must have been stressful. So
yeah,
stressful.
I thought I was fired. I thought it was over.
Well, you're still here, so we're glad. So thanks, Nathan, for joining us. Over to you, Scott.
Hello. Scott Cluche. I am the executive director of the Save River Youth Center. And my, funny enough, I've been doing account reconciling this morning, so it's very fitting that we're having this conversation. And from, a minor waste of time this morning, just a simple reminder that sometimes the checks that you wrote in 1 month don't get deposited until the next. So, don't pull your hair out trying to figure out why these checks weren't deposited. It could just happen in the next month. Thanks.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Thank you. And sometimes the bank messes up and says they deposited a check, but actually didn't. We have a missing check at the moment. So good to check back on your bank statements too. Thanks, Scott. Okay, and I also have somebody who joined after Scott. Your phone number is at 867-934. Who's, I haven't figured out everybody's names and phone numbers yet. Who's that number? Okay, so maybe that's somebody who's listening in then. So if I missed you on the round of introductions, just jump in and let me know. But otherwise, welcome everyone and some really good pointers for each other about what to do and don't do as far as managing finances. So I'm going to take a couple of minutes just to look at this week's content. And if you have the presentation slides open on your computer, you can follow along. And if not, just listen, and that's okay too. So we're going to start with slide 6, which shows you that handling or managing finances involves both systems and decisions. So that sounds kind of weird at first. It took me a while to explain this. But a system, if you think about a system, it's something that you set up to track and handle your money. So things like bookkeeping, banking, petty cash, grants, those are all systems. Whereas the decisions are things about what you make about where to get and to spend your money, who you're going to get money from, what budget it's going to come from, what grant you're going to apply for, things like that. So especially in recreation, you need both systems and you need to make decisions because it's really hard to make a good decision about your money without having a system that helps you make a good, solid decision. So as I mentioned at the beginning of the call, some of you or most of you probably have experience already handling and managing finances. So pick and choose what sort of stands out for you from this learning event. Work through it and, maybe you can take away some things that if they don't work for you, you can share them with coworkers, staff, or volunteers. So in the learning event, activity number 1 introduced you to 12 different terms, and these are also just captured on slide 7. So these are terms, if you do activity 1, you'll get a bit familiar with them. So we already heard the term in-kind contribution from Juliana. I think you guys have talked about revenue and expenses. You might hear about petty cash. A number of you mentioned budgets. We have fiscal years, things like that. So those are some of the terms that we're going to use throughout this learning event. So what I'd like to do now is come back to sort of the idea of how we need both systems and decisions to help us manage our finances. And we just talked about some of the do's and don'ts. And some of those were just most of the ones you mentioned were probably more decision-making. Actually they were a combination of both. So, but what I'd like to do is take a moment and go around our circle and find out what types of systems you use for managing finances or are familiar with. So just to mix it up, I'm going to go in reverse order, which means we start with Scott and then go to Nathan and then to Cambridge Bay. So let me pop the question for you in the chat so that you can take a look at it. If you're not sure how to answer this question, you can say pass and just listen to what other people have to say. That's totally okay with me. But the question is, could you take, 10, 15 seconds, not too long, to explain how your organization handles bookkeeping and perhaps the type of financial management software you use. And so we'll go Scott, Nathan, and then Juliana, and then I'll pop the rest in the chat. So over to you, Scott, if you could explain a little bit about your bookkeeping and if you use software for managing your finances.
All right. So we do our bookkeeping in-house. So, I'm the de facto bookkeeper. And I have a little bit of experience from working for other nonprofits and also being on boards and being treasurer and all that kind of stuff. As far as the software we use, I use Wave, which is it's a cloud-based accounting software. And what's great about it is that it's actually free. The only thing that we pay for with Wave is the payroll aspect of it. So if you want to use it for your payroll, then you pay a fee per pay period for that, and that's really not very much. And then the other thing you would pay for is if you are using it to take credit card payments, there's a fee on that. But as far as what we use it for, we just have to pay for the payroll aspect of it. And I really like it. There's other more popular softwares out there, but this is the one I've been using. And the other good thing is that it connects right to our bank account. So I just have to go on and, basically just tag all the transactions and categorize them, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, thank you.
That sounds great. I haven't heard of Wave before, so definitely something to look for. And maybe if you happen to have it open or you can put a link to that in the chat, that would be great in case anybody else is interested. Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, I totally will do that right now.
Thank you. And, it's interesting, too, to hear. So, Scott, you're with a nonprofit organization, and now we're going to go to Nathan and Baker Lake, and you're with the Hamlet. So, Nathan, would you like to tell us how the Hamlet or how Baker Lake handles bookkeeping and the type of financial management software. Boy, that feels like a lot of words today that you use. And if you don't know, you can just pass. That's okay.
Hi. I'm not sure, but I sort of remember payroll and finance talking to the acting SAO before, and I think they were talking about ACPAC when they were having problems with the Hamlet pay period. Everyone got paid a day late. It's some kind of software that connects to RBC because we're connected with RBC and whatnot. But I'm not exactly sure how they do it, but I sort of remember them complaining about ACPAC software problems.
Yeah, and probably being a municipality, it's a little bit more complicated, and it would be interesting. I don't know what the answer is, but it'd be interesting to know if every Hamlet in Nunavut uses the same or if it's different. And that's up to the SAO or mayor and council or somebody to set it up. So not sure how that works, but if anyone knows, you can add that. So thanks, Nathan.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go up to Cambridge Bay and maybe we'll get a bit more insight because another Hamlet or municipality in Nunavut. So Juliana, we'll go to you first because we're reversing our order, and then Anne, then Tracy.
Yes, so here at the municipality, I'm just going to mention for the recreation department on how they do the payroll or any other part. But unfortunately, this may be the reason why we're getting a little bit lost. Manual spreadsheets on Excel and papers. So I'm working on trying to change this system. I personally myself get everything on QuickBooks, but it's not for the municipality. But we need to update that because it's being just Excel and papers with the requisitions, bureaus, and payments.
That's pretty hard when you have a whole department working on something. So if you're just doing it for a program, like one single program that you're running, it's not too bad to use Excel, but for your whole department and all the different things that you probably have going on, that would be tough.
Yeah, and I give an example. I have 19 that I'm working on active right now, so I tell you that it gives me a headache.
I guess. Wow, big challenge. Well, thanks for explaining that, Juliana. Anne and Tracy, I know you also work in the same, in the recreation department. I don't know if you also use Excel with and then feed it into the bigger system, or how, if you can explain how that works for you.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same as what Juliana just explained.
So do you use individual Excel sheets for different programs that you run, or is it just one big master one?
It really depends on like the program. So we have different spreadsheets for different programs.
Well, great. Well, thanks for sharing, and maybe you guys will come up with some ideas about how you can make it a little easier for you through doing the learning events and talking among yourselves. So thanks. Okay, let's go out of some hamlets, out of the hamlets and municipalities now. Let's go to Adrian, and you're with, is it a nonprofit, Children's First, Adrian?
Yeah, we are a nonprofit organization. We're in daycare.
Yeah, I remember Anne. Does Angela Storr still work with you? Because she took our training program.
No, she doesn't work here anymore.
Okay. So how do you... How does your organization handle bookkeeping, and do you use software, or what do you do?
We use Sage. Yeah.
That's a pretty common one.
Of it, unless our admin is out of town, then that's the only time.
So you have an admin person who looks after all the finances, and you just have to make sure that you get approval for things and give receipts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks for explaining that. It feels a lot simpler, hey, with a smaller organization and not a great big municipality. So... thanks. Let's go Kumanaptik. Now we're coming back to Nunavut and to a municipality or a hamlet. Do you know how bookkeeping is handled in Iqaluit, and what type of financial management software might be used? I can see you're unmuted, but I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. It's my headset that has a precision and microphone. If we get a size gap size, okay, can you hear me now?
I can hear you a little bit. It's quite faint, but I can hear you, yes.
Okay. If game has cash prizes, keeping track of the money coming in and out, we keep track of money coming in and out with signatures. Like, we play a game and a person wins, we give the cash, and they give us their signature, the proof that we gave away the money. And for entry fees, we would need flop, change, and keep track of how many people entered the building by writing their name. And when all of those are done, we take those papers to the hamlet, and they do the software for us. Keep track on it with papers until they are processed in the hamlet.
So you use a lot of paperwork then, paper and signatures and things like that. Yeah, that's what I've heard from some of the hamlets in Nunavut.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. Okay, let's check out two more nonprofit organizations from Whitehorse. David, over to you. Do you know how your organization handles bookkeeping, and if you use a software, what it is?
We use a software. The software that they use is simply accounting. And so Alex is the one that will put in the data, and then we have a volunteer bookkeeper that reconciles, and they work together on balancing and coming up with the necessary reports, etc.
Great. So mostly the executive director working with the volunteer bookkeeper or treasurer or whatever the person's role is. So.
Right.
Thanks. Awesome. And over to you, Peter. Sorry to leave this till the end of the circle, but.
That's okay. We use Excel. We have a master tracker, I believe, and the various sort of pages of different funding programs that we have. And we also have a bookkeeper that fortunately works in the office building right across from ours, so that's convenient. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Is there anything else? I don't actually know if we have any more. Pretty much it, I think.
I don't know what, I think they might use Simply Accounting too, so I think that one. I think the app that was mentioned, that's a, that Nathan mentioned, that's a much more, that's an older one, but it's also very much more complicated. Sorry, my words aren't coming out of my mouth quite as clearly today. But thanks, it's really interesting, I find, to hear the different ways that we handle things. And you know, if you think of the size of your organization, the community you're in, whether you're a public, like a government, as in a municipality or a nonprofit, there definitely are some differences. And, you know, Scott's example is when he's the executive director, so, you know, you're looking after things, and David shared one where it's a combination. So it's good to understand how things work, where you work, because it helps you understand what your roles are as far as money, too. So if we come back to the slides, on slide number 8, it introduces what a budget is. And really, a budget is a financial plan, and I think everybody sort of probably knows that. It covers a set period of time, so it's, you know, like for this year, for this program, for this fiscal quarter, and a budget predicts sort of what's going to come in and what's going to go out. So it can help you control your spending, right? Because you know how much you're allowed to spend, and if you have to go over budget, then you have to find it somewhere else. There are different types of budgets. I would guess most of you work with program budgets if you deliver programs, but you might also work with annual budgets. Like Nathan, maybe that's, you have to do annual budgets, operating budgets. I'm not sure, you know, to the extent everybody has different responsibilities. And then sometimes capital budgets are usually left to somebody like your SAO would look after capital budgets, because that's usually major pieces. So really then, what we want to do with budgets is, you know, just understand the basics behind it, but also understand the different types that you might happen to use. So in a budget, we have different categories in a budget as well. And it's hard. We want to try and make sure that the budget captures everything, but we also, so it's got details, but you also don't want it so detailed that it's hard to follow. So it's a little bit of a balancing act trying to figure out exactly how you prepare your budget. So slide 10 explains about categories, and categories are used to sort and classify expenses and also revenues. So perhaps your supervisor, your executive director, your SAO tells you what categories have to be in your budget. Or other times, maybe you're applying for a grant and you're told that you have to prepare a budget for the grant, and you can only include personnel and equipment or materials or something like that. So you might be told what's in there, or you might have to come up with those categories yourself. So I'm just wondering, for those of you in the chat, or maybe we'll just go around the circle because I notice only a few people are in the chat, I just want a single answer from you, and if somebody else already says it, you can say pass or so-and-so said it. So my question for you, it's pretty simple, what are some of the categories you might find in a budget? And I'll pop that in the chat, And let's start in the middle of our circle. Tracy, I'm going to start with you and Anne, and then go Juliana, Nathan, Scott, Peter, David, Kmanopic, and Adrian. So just one or two words to explain one category that you might find in a budget, and then we'll go to the next person. So Tracy, what's a category in a budget that you might find?
Sorry, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Sure. Anne, any ideas?
She said no. She said she'll pass.
Okay, great. Juliana, do you have an example of a category you might find in a budget?
Okay, so I'm going to give you a three for us. Staff and personnel, equipment, and transportation.
Okay, and for the rest of you, just one, because otherwise if somebody says three each time, then there won't be any left at the end of the circle. So thanks. I wrote down personnel, and I heard equipment and transportation. Awesome. Nathan, do you have an example of another budget category? And it could be revenue or expenses. It's up to you.
Yeah, it's getting like quotes so that I can like estimate, you know, for like purchasing playground equipment. Like,
okay, so you might have equipment as a category in your budget, and to justify it, you might need to have quotes to say why you've put that amount into it.
Yeah, I need the quotes for everything. I can't. Okay, I need $20,000. They won't give it to me. I got to give them how much it costs, the shipping, everything.
Yeah, and the shipping up can be an expensive one sometimes, too. So, good point. So, thank you, Nathan. Scott, is there another category that you might find in your budget besides personnel, equipment, transportation?
Yeah. How about insurance?
Ooh, yeah, insurance, good one. That keeps going up, doesn't it? So it gets to be a bigger amount in our budget. Thanks, that's a great one. Peter, something else that you might find as a category in a budget?
Just off the slide here, I see in-kind contributions as one of the categories.
Yeah.
And I'll put a follow-up question to that. Just what would be the value of quantifying in-kind contributions? Is it just because, like, in the future, if you didn't have them, you'd have an idea of how much they cost? Or, like, why would you have it if it's all kind of something donated?
Can you hold that question? Because I actually have that next in our conference call flow, so that would be great.
Oh, okay, cool.
Okay, perfect. Thanks. David, do you have another category that you might find in your budget besides personnel, equipment, transportation, insurance, and in-kind contributions?
Gas expenses, you know, somebody said personnel, so I was going to say labor costs, but, you know.
Yeah, and gas might be different to transportation. So if you're in Nunavut, gas might be one thing, and transportation might be airfare to go different places. So it could be two different costs, right?
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks. Kmanopic, is there another category that you find either in your budget, either for revenue or expenses? Oh, I see you popped it in there. Great. So internet and power, yeah. Utilities, rent, all of those things. Thank you. That's a really important big area that it costs a lot sometimes. And Adrian, do you have another category that that might appear in your budget?
Facilities use.
Yeah, so would that be if you're renting them, or is it the cost of your own facilities?
We rent our own facilities.
Yeah, and if you run a daycare, I imagine you probably have costs like for food and stuff like that too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, thank you. So that's another area, is your materials, your supplies, your food, things like that. So each one of your budgets might look a little different. I really like the fact that you pulled out things like personnel and equipment and then insurance, but also things like the cost of facilities, and that's getting bigger and bigger all the time. So Thanks for pointing that out. That's really helpful. So Peter asked about in-kind contributions. So my first question to you is I'm going to just ask you to go around our circle once again. And I'm going to start with Nathan this time. So Nathan, I'll put you on the spot, and then we'll go Scott, Peter, David, and we'll end up with Juliana. So my question for you this time is, can you just tell us one example of an in-kind contribution, and then we'll come back to Peter's question. So Nathan, what's an example of an in-kind contribution that you might have or show when you're, you know, working in the field of recreation?
Sorry. The only thing I can think of is sort of like if they don't really give us cash, they'll give us like discounts or free apples, free bananas, or anything like that for the summer day camp or winter camp kids. They have healthy snacks. It's like equivalent. Instead of them giving us $1,000, they'll give us $1,000 worth of free products.
That's perfect. That's exactly what I'm looking at for an example of an in-kind contribution. So they're not giving you cash, because if they gave you cash, you'd have to record it as a revenue. Then you'd have to record it when you spend it as an expense. So instead, they're giving you something that has a value, and you just mentioned that, you know, for example, a value of $1,000. So this will help answer Peter's question when we get there. So thank you for that example. Scott, I know you work in the nonprofit world, and I'm guessing you have an example of in-kind a type of in-kind contribution too.
Yeah, just how about like experts or like leaders donating their time?
Yeah, so are you thinking to run a program or to sit on your board or to give you advice?
Yeah, I was thinking in terms of like, you know, when we have, say, guest facilitators, guest speakers come into our program, something like that. That's an example of in-kind contribution.
Great, thank you. And sometimes that's one that we don't always put a value on because it's hard to judge what it is, but that's really important. Thank you. Okay, and I see Isabel's joined us. So Isabel, we're just going around our circle sharing an example of an in-kind contribution. So I'll come to you at the end just so that you can hear what everybody else is saying. So Peter, you asked the question, but what do you think is an example of an in-kind contribution?
A good example would be like prizes or incentives.
Just one example so that, yeah, otherwise you take all the ideas. Okay, David, over to you.
Okay. Oh, sorry, I didn't realize I was unmuted. I guess. I was.
You can pass if you're in the middle of something.
Posters.
Oh, Adam?
That's okay. I've been listening. Yeah. So, signage, for example. You know, at an event, things like that, oftentimes the advertiser will put it together for you and then put their little logo on the bottom, and there you go.
Great. Good example. Thank you. Kumanopic, you can pop it in the chat if you want or jump on. What's an example of something that somebody gives you as an in-kind contribution? Like we've mentioned food, we've talked about time and expertise, prizes.
For me, my example for the in-kind contributions would be the Junior Rangers, because whenever we need help, we could just go to the sergeant for the Rangers and ask for volunteers, and the sergeant would direct the Junior Rangers to go and volunteer during an event.
That's great. So, in other words, you're using another nonprofit or an organization, which is the Junior Rangers, the Canadian Rangers, to help with something. So it saves you on the cost of paying staff because you're able to use people's volunteer time. So thank you for that. Adrian, do you have another example? You know, you're coming from a different background than some of the rec departments, so do you have an example of an in-kind contribution?
Services, consulting, repair work.
Ooh, repair work. That's a good one. Like if you have a burst pipe. Or toys. Like, do you guys have toys that people might come in and help fix or build or things like that?
Yeah, we usually have parents do that, though, that come in and volunteer. Or baby gates.
Yeah, you probably go through a lot of those, I would imagine. So, yeah. So there's some more examples. That's great. Thank you. So Tracy, Ann, and Juliana, I know that, you know, you guys are at the end of the circle this time. Is there any other examples of in-kind contributions that you have come across that haven't been already suggested?
If Tracy's not going in, so I'm going to answer.
Sure.
Let's say materials. Sometimes if you're talking about a goal for soccer or hockey sticks, we think that we have those materials for that year. Maybe we're planning on using 1 or 2 years. But if you're using painting for workshops, and we had a lot, and then we're going to run an activity, or we don't need to buy painting. We don't put the in-kind contribution into our project or our budget. But it's that resource that we're not going to have it again if you're using it, right? You're going to come to the end of your painting materials. So you got donated the last year, but if you don't put in your budget what is the value, you're not going to know for next year if you're doing a planning for your activities or for the budget or looking for a grant, how much you really need to run a program if you don't have that in kind anymore. I think it was like with his question, why you need to get the value for the in kind. It's just for property to know exactly how much, if you would need to pay for everything, how much your program would cost you.
Yeah, that I think you answered Peter's question. Peter, did that make sense, what Juliana was saying? Like, so she said you have to place the value of some of these things that you're getting, whether it's like Nathan explained, you know, healthy foods and snacks, or a speaker, like Scott said, that maybe one time you get them for free and the next time you have to pay for them. So if you don't know what the value of those things are, you can't budget for them in the future. So thank you for answering Peter's question there, Juliana. That's an awesome answer. Isabel, not to put you on the spot or anything, but I'm wondering if you just wanted to quickly introduce yourself and where you're from, and if you had an example of an in-kind contribution that hasn't been mentioned.
Hi, everybody. My name is Isabel. I'm calling from Dakokada Heng Junction in the Yukon Territory. I think one of the most regular in-kind contribution that I receive in recreation and hosting programs for young people is often the venue, using a space. If it's the school, if it's the community center for our youth program here, they in-kind all of the rental fees, so there is no charge for us to use any venues. So that's a good in-kind contribution.
Thank you. And just circling now back to Peter's question, the other thing that I think that we all experience in kind to a certain extent, depending on where our community is, and I know Air North, our airline, is really good at this, it's shipping and freight. So we all know how much it costs to get goods into the North, into our communities. And if we don't put a value when we get a discount, even a discount, if we don't value what the different things are, it's hard to justify a program cost in the future. So as Juliana said, maybe 1 year the program costs you, you know, $5,000 in actual cash, and you have $2,000 of in-kind, so the total program cost is $7,000. But if the next year the store can't afford to give you the food, or you can't afford the shipping or something like that, and you want to run the same program, you have to know what the cost was. Another reason for in-kind is that often if you're asking a funder for money, they want to see that you're either putting cash into something or that you have in-kind. And the last reason why I think in kind is really important is because it builds relationships in your community. What you are all doing around recreation and physical activity and sport is super important in our communities, and the more we can get people supporting that, then the better it is. Like, think of something like Northwest Health, for example. As hard as we are on Northwest Health for their services, they support recreation and sport a lot in our communities all the way across the North. And same with like Canadian North and Air North and things like that. So that in-kind part is a very important piece for us in our field. I'm just checking the clock here, and we just have about 5 minutes left. So I'm just going to go through a little bit more content so everyone's clear what's expected for your RLA or required learning activity on Sunday. So if you go to slide number 11, it shows you five basic steps for building and using a budget. So you need to do things like you need to decide on what you're doing, which might be a program, a special event. It could be your whole year if you're doing an annual budget as well. And you need to know what time period you're doing that from. Is it for the fiscal year, like from April 1st to March 31st? Is it for the summer? What's it for? Then you predict your expenses. So, you know, how much is it going to cost? So you have to kind of know that and where you're spending it and what categories. Then you have to figure out how much money you're going to get in or how much you need to find, because usually in recreation, it's, you know, we have to justify what we're doing. So we need to know what's available to us as well as what we're spending. And then after that, you will take you'll add your in-kind or identify those. And depending on where you work, like probably for a municipality or a hamlet, they may not need you to track in-kind for their records, but you might need to, as Juliana mentioned, track them for your own. Then you're going to subtract your expenses from your revenues. And if the number is positive, yay, that's good. If it's negative, then you have to probably figure out, you know, are we going to run this program and lose money? I don't know if any of you just saw the CBC post yesterday about the aquatics facility in Yellowknife and the fact that it's going to cost 7 times more money to run than what they're going to make each year. So they have to make a commitment. They know that budget, and they have to commit to running that at a pretty significant loss and figure out where they're going to get the revenue from otherwise. So I have one last question for you, and maybe I'll ask you to pop this in the chat, or I'll just go around really quickly and see if we can just answer in 5 to 10 seconds. And I'm going to start at the top of our circle this time, so with Peter. And so let's pop the question in here. And it's sort of coming back to our do's and don'ts. But what should you always do? And when we get the answer I'm looking for, we can stop our circle. But what should you always do once you have a budget and before you start spending? Peter, any idea?
Like communicate the budget that you have proposed to all the stakeholders, the people involved with the planning of the event.
Good. Yeah, because a budget is a plan, so share it with everybody that's involved. Awesome. David, in 5 seconds or less, is there anything else you should do once you have a budget and before you start spending?
Have it reviewed by an accountant.
Yeah, especially if it's a big budget, right? Maybe if it's a small one for a little program, you might not need to, but a big one, absolutely. Kumanovic, if you have a budget, is there something that you need to do with it before you start spending the money that you've identified? Have some drafts, that's right, great. Adrian, is there something that you would do with your budget before you start spending? And I think maybe you popped away because it's probably lunchtime for you, so I'll go on. Tracy, Ann, and Juliana, is there something that you need to do with your budget? Any of you can jump in. Something you need to do with your budget before you start spending.
Make sure you review all the expense, the eligible expenses.
Yeah, so make sure everything's accurate, it's reviewed before you start spending those things. Isabel, anything that you would do with a budget before you start spending?
I would organize and make a plan and make sure that, yeah, we're coordinated, that the money is going where it should.
Exactly. So, like, the dots and the lines are all sort of connected and flowing in the right direction. I have this sort of visual graph in my head. So, thank you. Nathan, how about you? You work for a municipality. If you create a budget, what do you need to do before you start spending?
Stick to the budget. Very easy to go over.
Yeah, and what do you do before you even start spending the money that's in your budget? Who has to look at your budget?
Everyone's going to do.
Yeah. And does your budget get reviewed by your SAO?
Yeah, he looks over everything.
Absolutely. And does your SAO tell you, yes, you're good to go, or no, you need to make changes?
Yeah, it's the only way I can get things done.
Yeah, so in other words, I think this is what I was getting at, is you probably need somebody to approve your budget. So you can say my budget's good, but it's nice to have your supervisor or somebody who has more accountability or financial responsibility than you review it and make sure that it's correct too. Because that just sort of covers you. Go ahead, Nathan.
That's Scott.
Oh, go ahead, Scott.
I was going to add, make sure it balances.
Yeah, that's pretty important, isn't it? And if it doesn't balance, figure out where you're going to get that money from, right? So that's great. And Scott, for you, just a quick last question. As an ED or executive director, do you approve all your budgets or do you have a board approve them for you?
They get approved by the board.
Yeah. So again, you know, even though David was talking about using his executive director to help support his financial management, there's still always somebody above the position that you're in, unless I guess you have the last call. But for most of us as working in the field, we have, whether it's a board, an SAO, a mayor and council, an executive director, somebody who will approve our budgets before we start spending. So Kumanopic just added in the chat, understanding that those levels of authority, exactly, that's a really important part of financial management, is knowing what authority you have and what authority the next person has. And we will chat some more about that as we move through this learning event. So I just, I'm 1 minute over on my computer, so I'd like to wrap up, but just make sure that I'd like to make sure you're clear about the required learning activity that's due on Sunday. So if you have the slides still open, slide 13 will explain that. And what it asks you to do is to prepare a budget. And you can prepare a super simple one. I'm not looking for something with 15, 20, 30 lines. It can have 4 lines for expenses and 4 lines for revenue if you want. It doesn't have to be complicated. What it does do is it says you have the option of option A or option B. So option A is to use a case study that I created, and if you choose option A, you might want to continue using that case study for this learning event. However, if you want to use your own program or event, or for those of you who are in the last learning event, PE 101 Deliver Program or Design Programs and Events, you might want to use the program or event design that you have there and actually do a budget that's more realistic. So if you have one that is realistic for you to do, or a few of you are also in our proposal writing learning events going on at the same time, and you have a budget due this week too, so you might want to double up and use the same activity. So what I will do then is I'm just going to say thank you for joining us and sharing your ideas. It was a really good conversation today. I do stay on the line in case you have any questions. So I'm going to the conference call recording, but just stay on if you have any questions for me. And next week we're going to talk a bit more about handling finances once your budget actually has been approved. So, Makicho, merci, Nakermik, Kwana, Want to see, and have an awesome rest of your week. And we'll talk to you next week.